You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Had enough of those supplements that leave you feeling nothing? Symbionica is your solution to great-tasting, all-natural supplements that actually work. Crafted with premium plant-based ingredients, their products have no seed oils, fillers, or toxins. Try them out and actually feel the difference today. Visit Symbionica.com and use code IHEART for 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Again, that's 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Go to Symbionica.com. C-Y-M-B-I-O. T-I-K-A.com.
I know you'll be alright, even when times get hard, and you feel like you're in the dark. You will see just how beautiful life can be when you soften your heart. You can finally start to live your truth, is life.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back. I am here in Miami, Florida, on my birthday trip with my family. I turn 35 the day this episode comes out, which is kind of wild because 30 felt like a minute ago. And here I am 5 years later, and that terrifies me how fast it all goes. And all I've been trying to do with time is learn to relate to it differently. Because I think we all know there are times in our lives when things like fly by because we're rushing. And then there are times when things move slowly and we savor it. And time is always time, but it is how we bring our nervous system to the table that really changes how things feel and the spaciousness that we create. Anyway, this is also our season finale, and we have a plan to pick back up in the fall. I had slated this episode out as a solo to impart some sort of 35 years of wisdom upon you, but as the days have creeped up closer to it, I have not felt like I have this, I don't know, clear wisdom to share with you, and anything more profound I feel like would be forced. This year was an incredibly tough one for me. I went through a lot of life things, real life things that have definitely taught me a lot. But in this moment, I don't feel like I have a perfect bow to wrap on this past year of my life. No profound wisdom at the surface of my brain. There has been devastation. There has been surrendering. There has been a lot of praying that the worst has been behind me. There has been depletion and repletion. And I think coolest of all, there has been gratitude without practicing like gratitude with a gratitude journal. This past year has just opened me up to feel grateful for the small things in a way that has me feeling really good inside at a lot of the times. One of the ways that I nursed and nourished myself back to self, I just wanted to share in case you're in the hard throes of it right now, was really taking a big step back from my to-do list, healing in all the ways that felt really right, whether that was just showing up to yoga or spending more time with my friends, spending more energy with my friends, spending more energy doing all of the things, not the time, because we could give time easily, but to give our energy and presence to people and things in a world that is always trying to steal our presence is very, very a different thing. And my female friendships in particular have been huge for me. And it's not just the serious conversations that we've had. It's the joy that comes from being around them, whether it's a playful dance party or sending each other memes. There's just something about female friendships that have been incredibly healing for me. So for this episode coming up, this is nothing like I've ever done before, from the way that our microphones are hitting and the way the conversation flows so organically and unscripted. It hopefully will provide you with a greater sense of who I am. So for this episode, I brought on my two best friends, Jerry and Lulu. Jerry is my best friend since we were 13 years old, and my brother married her sister. So my brother Greg married her sister Lauren. They have two kids, Hunter and Ryan. Jerry and I are aunts to the same kid. So my best friend became my family. And then Jerry met Lulu. They got married, and Lulu is brilliant and her brain works in such a different way. And I gained another sister, another best friend, who are the two people that always help me see myself so much more clearly because they ask such good questions. They're so deeply present when I'm with them, and I aspire to live like them in so many ways. I'm honestly so excited for you to meet them because they're hilarious and beautiful on the inside and out. And our conversation starts with Lulu, who's lactating, never been pregnant before, but it's just a very funny, light episode that I had a lot of fun recording, and I think that you'll also enjoy listening to. So for this episode, you don't need like a pen and paper to take notes, but maybe go for a walk and enjoy a light episode that will make you probably want to pick up the phone and call your best friend and have a conversation with them too. Best friends, female friendships are the best, and I'm so excited to share this other part of me that you've probably never seen before. I know a lot of you do want more of me, and I hope you get a glimpse into that by adding this dimension into this mix. I will definitely miss being on the mic over the summer, but I'm also really looking forward to the spaciousness that I need to be present, get clear, resettle back into my body after this year, and really see what comes from giving myself the space to just be in my favorite season of the whole year. Thank you so much for being here. I am so grateful to do this work. Okay, I hope you love this episode. Bye.
I thought I was like showing my vulnerability. I was like, I'm lactating. I'm here for the podcast.
You can. We can keep this in.
I'm here and I'm lactating.
It's worth sharing with if excitement. You're willing.
Huh? With excitement? Lactating with excitement. No, that sounds so perverse.
It's worth sharing because somebody out there might be alone in this.
Yeah, it might be something that your listeners really bond with.
So Lulu you've never been pregnant?
I've never been pregnant. I am not pregnant. I'm in a gay relationship and there's no chance of being pregnant unless somebody cheats on somebody. And nevertheless, I'm lactating. It started about 3 weeks ago and milk just started pouring forth. In the beginning, I didn't understand why I was like occasionally like wet in the chest. And then I looked down and there were these white milky droplets coming from my nipples and I couldn't believe it. And then I started squirting, which was even more.
What does it mean squirting?
Like as in like, it's like a jet. It's like, whoosh, whoosh. So Jerry actually hasn't seen it because she keeps on missing it. It's like lightning striking. And I'm like, Jerry, you just missed it. You missed it again. And so what we're trying to do is not milk for 2 days so that we can get a build up and that we can do a test.
So this is new information to me. I actually just saw some wetness on your shirt. Is it both boobs?
Both. It was only the left in the beginning and then the right joined it.
I'm not sure if it's biologically worrisome or beautiful.
I don't know. There's nothing on the internet that makes it seem concerning.
Houston's gonna hate that. Things dropping. Okay, stop fidgeting. Jerry's so nervous. Okay, go keep
Jerry,
it all.
It's not even you on the line. Jerry, yeah. Just sit down.
You're not even the one lactating. We can't keep Jerry at the table. All right. Jerry, do you want to introduce yourself? It's all coming back. I kept saying this is reminding me of Jerry at some point. It's what our bat mitzvah.
Oh.
I think this happened. We had a shared bat mitzvah, and I think you were really freaking out, and it's just, like, very surprising because you're naturally very chill.
It's
but
any stage work.
Yeah.
No, sorry. I saw you for Lisa's wedding on the rehearsal dinner. You fucking killed it. You were so easy. You were so natural. You got the whole room, like, tip of your tongue, no, what's it called? You had the whole room at the...
Yeah.
At the...
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
At the...
No, yeah.
At the...
Mm-hmm.
At
right
the,
there.
Right on the cusp.
Right
at
on the cusp.
Of your... Oh, you had them eating out of your hands.
Yes.
That's it. You had them eating out of your hands, and you just delivered the best... Were you head bridesmaid?
You guys just got punked. You guys got punked. This is your pilot episode of the podcast of Jerry and Lulu.
Well, it's not gonna.
It's not gonna go.
You got
well.
Punked.
Yeah.
You've been canceled after the pilot.
I think I would be canceled. I think I would be scared to be cancelled if I was to have a podcast. Like, I'm surprised that, like, anybody has the gall to
make
commitments. Like, how do you deal with that? Like, aren't you scared of being cancelled all the time?
I'm sure there is, like, a deep-rooted fear of being actually cancelled and, like, the publicity that I've seen that comes along with, like, being truly cancelled. But then I also, like, deep down sometimes want to be cancelled.
Ooh.
No, sorry. The surface level is I want to be canceled. The deep down is like nobody wants to be canceled because it's like a sense of social not belonging and rejection. And that would obviously feel awful and come with like really strange consequences of not knowing like who still likes you, who doesn't like you, who's talking about you, who's not.
So what's the desire to be canceled then?
Just like kind of like be done with like being afraid to fully speak certain opinions that I have. And then like everybody who like is on the cusp about me is just kind of gone, you know?
You would filter out your audience.
You'd
and then
filter it
the
out.
People who are remaining are the people who like you would want to have dinner
right.
with.
Right. Because then you're like free to really say whatever you want. If you got canceled on like some major thing, right? It's like you just get rid of everybody who didn't. Who like can't stand for you being multidimensional or dynamic. How'd that conversation get there? Are you guys good interviewers?
No.
Just wrap up the lactating thing real quick here, just to bring it back full circle. This is a phenomenon to me. I think that's so
It is weird. It is weird. And actually, I can't tell my friend Lara about it, so I hope she never listens to this podcast.
Okay.
Because when I told my friend Lara about my friend, she was like, ugh. She was like gagging. She was like, it's disgusting. She was like, it's actually revolting. Do you remember? We were telling her about it at dinner. She was like, please don't, I'm eating.
But worse is now you can't tell your friend that knows that that person would have thought that it was gross.
Yeah. Well.
This is made for the US.
This is US only.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think it's kind of interesting though when people like, most people when I was breastfeeding were like so into it. And then I have one friend who was totally like, oh my God, please stop talking about breastfeeding. And she was a female too. And I found it kind of just like interesting. Like, and I just like respect that like that's like her reaction to it.
The only thing that I remember about like breastfeeding is, or like what I think about breastfeeding is, I remember my mom when I was younger was reading a romance novel and she burst out laughing and I was like, what's funny? And she was just like, oh, this man is trying to have sex with this woman and she just squirted milk into his mouth. And I was so young and I was like, what? And that's like my...
See, why this is also fascinating is I never leaked when I was breastfeeding. I have a friend who's leaking all the time and she's breastfeeding.
Tight nips.
Oh. Yeah, I guess I do.
not my, like, my...
But again, I just want to nail home the point that you're not pregnant, I've never been pregnant, and this is just happening.
Yeah. I don't know what's happening, but it is happening.
But you said that there could be some, like, hormonal fluctuations that could cause it. This, obviously, if you have medical concerns and are going through this, please see your doctor.
Yeah, like, I wonder whether it has anything to do with feeling broody and, like, wanting kids, but I don't think the... feeling of wanting kids is so strong.
I mean, it did happen when you saw Soli, my daughter. So I think that's worth noting.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like tearing up, but in your bra.
Oh, to be a woman, the many confusing ways it is to be a woman.
I thought it was interesting what you were saying about cancelling, like, one of the reasons why on the surface you would like it is because then you would, like, filter out and you would just be able to be, like, who you are. Or, like, allow for, like, the multifacetedness of you to come through. Do you feel like there are lots of sides of you that you feel like you have to edit out because it's, like, not part of the brand?
I wouldn't say that I operate from, a place of, like, brand. And that is, like, both great and not great at the same time. It's great because I don't burn out, but it's not great because I don't think that I've tapped into, like, true potential of building a business. Like, I think when I changed my Instagram from the Well Necessities to Lisa Haim, I thought that that was, like, a really good thing, and I still do think it was the right move and I would do it again. But it actually, like, it created a more me version of me versus, like, a business that I have that I put out that is this niche, you know? So I think that I don't ask that question of, like, is that on brand or is that not on brand? And maybe I should. Maybe then I would be, like, growing more, have more followers or more this or more that. But I just burn out really fast if it's not coming from a place of, like, true authenticity. And not to say that everybody who has a brand based off of their person is, like, inauthentic, but I think that it's, like, more challenging to, like, always stay in that, like, narrow lane. But at the same time, then it becomes more of, like, a job, right? Like, my job is to serve, and I serve, and I give, you know, people recipes, right? So then they're always talking about recipes. They're not going to talk about politics one day or their relationship or things like that. And I think that can be really beautiful because they really preserve, like, their whole self for their, like, real life. Like, my friend Olivia came on my podcast and really talked about, like, how she saves her, like, real self. I don't remember if that was the words that she used for her, you know, real people. And I think, I don't know, would you guys agree that, like, you get a different version of me than the internet? Jerry looks like she's got something to say here.
I think there's consistency. I'm not shocked. I don't think that you're in conflict with who you are online. There's different intimacies. Like, I do think that you have a private life.
Right, yeah.
Or there's more, we just have history that would be probably uninteresting or too particular to share with people.
Right.
And that's what a lot of our relationship is.
I think that I am in more, I'm in relationship with people a lot more. Like, we are in relationship to each other. And, like, on the internet, I'm talking to a screen, which obviously people are listening, but it feels very one way, even though it's, like, not. It's being received, but nobody's talking back to me. So then, like, the reason that I, like, you know, like, Lulu, you were supposed to come on the retreat, and, like, why I went on my meet-treat with you guys is because I think I'm able to, like, penetrate different levels of self by way of having conversations with people. So I've always struggled with the unidimensional version of social media, how it's speaking to your audience. Even if there's comment sections, it's, like, not usually a conversation in the real way that
agreed. It I don't could be. Like when you post, it doesn't resonate with me in the same way that having a conversation with you does.
Right.
We could talk forever and it would never feel long, but, like, I can't read. It's not the format that works for me. So when there's a ton of text coordinated with a photo,
right,
it will never land in the same way. And that's probably, that would probably be with a lot of people.
Right.
Like, if it was a stranger, I don't know that I'd be able to identify with a stranger that I found online through that format, but definitely not with you. Like,
have you ever actually identified with, like, an Instagram personality or celebrity or anything?
Yeah. If I had to think about random people that I followed, but it would probably be, like, more spoken word or video content.
True.
So that it feels more lifelike.
Who's come to mind? Just curious. Lulu, are you thinking of somebody for her?
Oh, I think, like, you really like Young Mi, for example.
Who's that?
Oh, yeah. That's through humor.
She's a comedian, right?
Yeah, she's a comedian. And she's amazing. And so sharp.
Like, what's a joke that she tells?
It's not, like, knock-knocks. I can't really reiterate, but she does. She just makes amazing memes and just has, like, a really good take on a lot of...
She's insightful.
How'd I miss Young Mi?
Do you find, like, there's so many different personalities online and you also, like, talk to so many different people, do you find it hard to know how to stay true to, like, what you want to talk about and like stay true to you rather than being like, what's the difference between like being open-minded and like hearing about loads of ideas and like not being carried away and like knowing
what
you want to focus on?
I've never been influenced by like what people are posting in terms of like, oh, this is what people are saying and it performs well and then you should talk about that, because I can't like write or think from that place. But I have definitely been not inauthentic, but like struggled with the format of Instagram as it's changed. Like everybody, when Reels came out, I was so excited because I actually do like video editing. I like making videos. I think it's like more fun to deliver information via videos. But then it was like, wait.
And physical humor.
What?
Like you like to move.
Yeah, I like to move. Like and I was never good at taking pictures. So I always like struggled with like posing and or like taking pictures of my food. Everything always felt so weird and interruptive to like life. Like, everyone stop eating so I can get this picture perfect thing that I'm going to put on my feed and then do the restaurant, you know? It was like, it was just interruptive. So Reels was exciting. But then as Reels continued and then TikTok happened, it was like, no, you don't make Reels by just like creating a video and speaking and talking about, I don't know, talk about nutrition or learning to listen to your body or yoga or anything. It's like, it's in this systematic format that retains people's attention, whether it's like a dance to a catchy song or a trend pointing to different words on the screen. I don't know if you remember when people were doing like the pointing a lot, you know, or like certain songs. Like it became such a way to do Reels that I like lost inspiration. So it's like I have all of these ideas in my head of topics that I want to talk about, but figuring out how to execute and like bundle that into what Instagram wants so that it gets to people has been a roadblock for me. And it's not to say when I do like try to do it that way that things don't go well, but it just feels like so much more of a task.
Yeah.
That feels inauthentic versus like when Instagram started and I would just like have a thought and I would just like pair it with a random photo. It just like flowed through me versus like, okay, here's my content idea. Now I have to like put this camera here and film me doing this and then do a voiceover and then put text. Oh, I don't know. It just became so cumbersome.
Yeah.
In the mix of just, I don't know, what used to feel very simple. I still think video is great, but.
What is a trend at the moment that you're just like, cannot?
Had enough of those supplements that leave you feeling nothing? Symbiotica is your solution to great-tasting, all-natural supplements that actually work. Crafted with premium plant-based ingredients, their products have no seed oils, fillers, or artificial nonsense. It's just pure goodness in every pouch. Try them out and actually feel the difference today. Visit Symbiotica.com and use code IHEART for 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Again, that's 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Go to Symbiotica.com. That's Symbiotica.com.
Are you tired of your scented cleaning products smelling and cleaning like meh? Then it's time for an upgrade with the power of Clorox Scentiva. With an uplifting scent that smells like coconut, Clorox Scentiva gives you powerful clean like Clorox, but a feeling like being transported to a tropical island retreat. Imagine putting your phone on Do Not Disturb, tuning out all the constant. Just the feeling of warm sand in between your toes and a fruity drink in your hand. The ones with the little umbrella. Refresh your home to feel like an all-inclusive vacation by getting Clorox Scentiva. Also available in grapefruit and lavender scents at a nearby retail store.
When it comes to your job, you're likely well-versed, but what about your skin? Life's busy enough. It doesn't have to be a big chore to get well-versed skin. Check out the dermatologist-tested cruelty-free vegan skincare products from Verst. It's under $25 and available at your local Target store, making it easier than ever to take care of your skin from head to toe. Podcast listeners, here's an exclusive deal. 15% off at VERSEDskin.com with code MEDIA15. That's VERSEDskin.com with code MEDIA15. Verst, available at Target.
What is a trend at the moment that you're just like, cannot?
I honestly don't know. I think I have like a new accidental, great new relationship to Instagram where I'm truly viewing it as an app. Is that how you guys use it? Like, I'm going to open my phone and open this app, or is it like reflexive for you as a user?
No, for me, definitely. It's like an app that like I occasionally like visit, and I think I have a pretty healthy relationship with it.
Wow. Always?
I've never been like that attached to it, to be honest.
You were off it for a while recently.
Yeah, like, and then I came off it for like 6 months, if not a bit longer, which was nice in the beginning. And then after a while, I just was like, oh, I'm actually missing out on like a lot of news and just basic keeping in touch with people. And so it's not like an all or nothing relationship at all.
I think we talked about this, but I had, and I said it on another podcast episode, that you and I had a conversation about you going off of Instagram, and you're like, yeah, I think I want to come back, because like it's kind of like a how far can the pendulum swing go kind of a thing. And I was like, wow, you're so right. Like, we can't pretend that it doesn't exist, because it is a source of news and like what's going on around. Not that you can't get that somewhere else, but I thought that was super interesting.
Yeah, it's about finding the balance, like, with it, definitely.
But that's really hard when it's designed to be addictive.
Addictive.
Like, it's so addictive. Okay, so going back to the question, I think that I've gotten so good at, like, not treating it like I open my phone and then I'm on Instagram and then I'm going to watch stories. I still do get sucked in occasionally, but I don't know. I'm, like, literally not interested in what other people are doing right now. And not that I ever am, like, so interested, but I'm able to catch myself a little more being, like, waste of time, want to be with my daughter, want to be with my husband, or I'm with my husband and I want to actually be with my husband because I'm next to him, but like this is a block to intimacy, like emotional intimacy, me being on my phone, him being on his phone. So all to say that I don't even know what the trends are right now. I do love TikTok. I find it so much more funny, inspirational. Like I can like get ideas of things to do, and I haven't been on TikTok at all very much lately, so I don't even know what the trends on there are. Do you guys know the trends?
I actually haven't been on them for ages. I haven't been on TikTok for ages.
You don't have what?
TikTok.
Oh, at all? But you have Instagram.
I do.
Would have thought you would have made the switch to TikTok and abandoned Instagram.
It requires work to know something new.
You watch mine like the day and you know what I mean? It.
Yeah.
Remember? You were like, you get fed such funny stuff. Like,
yeah, if you show me something, we're watching it together and we're laughing at something together, then that feels like the right amount.
Yeah.
But I don't need something else.
Yeah, right. We don't need another.
I thought I didn't need something else either, and then it was just like...
But it is different from Instagram. Like, it is like a welcome break, and it feels like a joyful place, like, versus Instagram, which is like... I mean, everybody knows what Instagram is, but TikTok feels like just like... a bit lighter
and more expansive. Like, you're not getting people that are like pumping out content every day for the sake of like content. Like, you're getting comedians that like otherwise wouldn't have had a platform, or singers, songwriters that like would have never gotten heard but like, if you have good talent, you're rising to the top much more fast than you would have in like the industry otherwise. Or if you're just like really able to articulate a concept, you know, it picks up speed fast.
Like, who were you talking about earlier? Like, the kids who did the song?
Oh, yeah. So, the song that Evan loves. Take me to the river, I can swim. I can swim. Anyway, it's a great song. I don't know if that came from TikTok or Instagram, to be honest. But the song went viral from two teenage kids at Jesus Camp. And they were otherwise, like, they have no interest in being famous. They still don't want to be famous. But the song just, like, blasted them to the top because the song is so good. And they just... Jesus gave them the lyrics and they gave it back to the world, and it's so beautiful and they're so cute.
That would literally be my dream, for that to happen to me. For me to like...
to do nothing.
To
do nothing and it just...
And to be famous. Yeah. No. To like get recognized for like one of these like little songs that I make.
She writes the best songs.
So here's a good opportunity. You do write good songs. Jay, what's your favorite song that Lily's
written? She
wrote
a really good one yesterday.
Can you sing it?
It's pretty morbid.
No.
Can you go with a less morbid one for introducing her people to Lulu's Bird? No.
Maybe there'll be one that comes to me, but
there was
unlikely.
One that I really loved that used to sing. Can you just give me one, Jerry?
Bagels and bagels, they're coming to my house. Curry puffs and curry puffs, I'll put them in my mouth.
It is good.
It's catchy, isn't
it? So it's a jingle. You're a jingle writer.
That's a jingle, but like... There's dirty tacos, dirty tacos, come eat your dirty tacos. They got sauce, they got beans, they got everything you need to bring you to your knees. It's dirty tacos.
Jerry, have you heard that one before?
Yeah, it's business.
It's business. It's business time. It's business.
Okay, so this is a show too.
It's taco time.
It's business as usual.
It's business as usual.
That came from the day that we did a 2-day taco pop-up. And when we were pushing our cart home with our leftover bits and pieces.
So we have video footage of this.
There was this one time which I was like, oh my God, what's that song? That's my favorite song. And I was like, oh my God, the song that I wrote about the postman box or something like that. She was like, no, the Beyonce song. She's talking about Beyonce song. I was like, oh my God, one of mine.
See, if this was a video podcast, which you guys didn't want video, but if we had video, we'd be able to take that clip.
I'll share it with the people.
Okay. Yeah, I think that would be a good maybe promo for this episode.
It's very good.
It's business.
It's really as usual.
Meanwhile, two-day business.
So for Lisa's 35th birthday, we'll be doing this business. I feel like what we would like to do in this interview is ask you some spicy questions.
Spice it.
Spicy
cinnamon,
questions.
Saffron.
Can you tell me which one you're thinking?
But then, like, when I'm asking you spicy questions, I'm like, which part of you do you feel like you can't bring to the table because of your brand? You're like, oh, I don't really see it as a brand. I'm like, it's hard because you're, like, answering in a very wise way.
Sorry.
So I'm going to... So just...
Can we get on the same page?
Yeah. Okay. It's funny, a lot of the questions, actually, that we wanted to ask you... You alluded to it earlier in the day anyway. Like, Jerry, why don't you go with this one?
I guess any time I've looked back at something that I thought was meaningful in writing, yeah, like an old journal entry or something like that, there's some element that's, like, a bit embarrassed.
Cringe?
Yeah, that feels too extreme and kind of, like, too on trend. But it's just, like, something more to the core where you're like, eat! Like, I don't really need to revisit that.
Oh, gosh, yeah. I know where this is going.
I don't think you do.
Okay.
It's more like...
Do I feel that way?
You make a career where you just push past that all the time.
Right, I'm saying I never look back. I don't want to look back.
No, but that's good.
Right.
So here I am, like, can hardly even take one step forward because I'm too concerned. I think calling it, like, insecurity would be oversimplifying it, but it's, like, just too concerned with how things will be...
Leaving an imprint?
Yeah.
No, I think that's intentional. I think that could be beautifully intentional. I think we have different parts of the brain that are activated, and, like, mine is really good at, like,
just
set it and forget it.
Yeah.
But what is that, survival?
You guys are both very good at that.
Set it and forget it?
Like, no, just trucking on.
Checking on.
You don't mind having a conversation.
Listen, if I went back and, like, saw something that I wrote and I was like, I would probably archive the post and just, like, pretend it never happened.
Right.
But I don't look back very often, but it exists.
But there's something about just... continuing to put yourself out there, and that's for anyone, that is a type of vulnerability. And maybe it's like, not that you have so much exposure, not that everyone has so much exposure, but like, even if it was just for myself, even this,
but
if this were
a part of my brain not firing that should be like, oh, future, look back,
but that worked. But I think that's what stops a lot of people,
right? But maybe in a good way.
No, because you're creating so much stuff that's helpful and impactful for people in a really good way.
Yeah. And
it's not like you can't recover if you made a mistake.
Yeah.
Or if you've said something embarrassing or regrettable or whatever it is.
Right. So you want to know.
Yeah. How do you tick? Like, how do you kind of.
Like I said in the beginning, like, it also feels like for me to speak, write, share, it has to come from this, like, energetic blaze. And when you're, like, in that energetic blaze, you're, like, not thinking necessarily so clearly. So, like, even for this podcast episode, right? Like, I was, like, I slated out my 35th birthday. I want to end the season. And I don't know, maybe 35 lessons. But, like, I don't have the 35 lessons. Like, I'm sitting down. It's, like, not coming out of me. But, like, if I was, like, trying to fall asleep one night and then it was, like, boom, boom, boom. My brain was, like, thinking of all these things. Then it's, like, yes, I want to lead with this. It's, like, coming from... an awake place versus a cognitive place.
Yeah. It sounds like you're it's like lacking of self-awareness in a good way, as in you're
in
just really
moments.
Present. Yeah, you're just really present, right. And you're just thinking what you're thinking. You're not thinking about like how you're going to be perceived or like the way in which you're coming across. You're just in flow.
Right. But over the years I've lost that flow because of many reasons. I think industry changes, life changes. I used to just be at 20, middle, like 25, 26 when I started. I'm 35 now, just naturally by maturation, maturity. What's the word here?
That's
maturing.
Maturation.
Maturation. Sounds like such a mature word itself.
When you turn 35, you could use it.
Yeah.
Aww. I've got a couple more years to go.
Yeah, you've got... Oh, yeah, I was thinking you're turning 35 this year. You're not even... I think by way of maturation and, like, life changes, like, I've taken on a partner who, like, has a career. I have a daughter who... It's a whole other conversation about, like, social media and her and exploring what feels right for her and probably changing a lot of things in the next few years, too. So I think that I've lost that flow for some time. I'm really in it right now, which is interesting. But then I'm also going to go, I think, take a social media break in July or August or maybe both. I don't know exactly yet. So it's funny to, like, be in this flow where I actually am in that, like, boom, boom, boom groove. Mm-hmm. But and then be quiet during that time.
But social media is only one outlet, right? You still, like, you have a newsletter. You have
I want to take a break from everything for, like, a month or two. Just this beginning of this year, or the whole year, really, this last 6 months have just been super confusing, dizzying, traumatic, all the emotions, adrenaline, that I feel like I just haven't fully, like, dropped into self. And, like, before I take my next step, and I want to just, like, make space. And obviously it's very privileged to be able to.
It's really interesting because one of the questions that we wanted to ask you was, like, how does it feel having grown up or done your adulting as if somebody's basically reading your diary? Like, how does that affect you?
I don't think about the words so much as I do have, like, regrets of just, like, moments that I wish I was, like, more deeply present, but I was, like, recording for something, you know, we're taking pictures. And it felt like that made sense for a lot of years to, like, do both. Like, oh, Evan and I are going to Miami and I, you know, everybody would love to see, like, what we're eating, right? So everywhere eating, da, 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 da. But then there's, like, a moment of that that's, like, lost. I mean, Jerry and I, we went to high school together, and I remember our English teacher, Edward Beluyet, or our teacher, we were in the special program. It was when, like, social sharing was just starting to come out. What did we have? Those, like, we had, like, these pages where every weekend we would upload photos.
Just between in just the class?
No.
I don't, like, remember that.
Oh, it was like a social, it was before social media. It wasn't like Shutterfly, but it was like a feed. And at the end of, like, every Sunday, we'd upload our pictures from, like, our new digital cameras. And then, like, you'd see, like, who was at the party and who was there.
It
was,
sure.
Like,
it sounds vaguely familiar, but.
Right. I don't remember what it was called. But I remember him being like, but are you actually present if you're taking the picture? And I'm like, yes. You're actively present. He's like, but how can you be? Because then you're taking the picture and you want to be perceived in the picture. Like, you're having fun. And da, 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 da. And I was like, I don't get it.
He was the first to present real existential, like, dread and threat. And yeah.
And now I get it. I'm like, if the phone is there, it's a third party, fourth party, sixth party, whatever, that changes this, right? Even this podcast right now. There's a microphone in our hand. This conversation, as natural as it is, it's different if the microphone isn't here.
Definitely.
Had enough of those supplements that leave you feeling nothing? Symbionica is your solution to great-tasting, all-natural supplements that actually work. Crafted with premium plant-based ingredients, their products have no seed oils, fillers, or toxins. Try them out and actually feel the difference today. Visit Symbionica.com and use code IHEART for 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Again, that's 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Go to Symbionica.com, Symbiotica.com.
Are you tired of your scented cleaning products smelling and cleaning like meh? Then it's time for an upgrade with the power of Clorox Scentiva. With an uplifting scent that smells like coconut, Clorox Scentiva gives you powerful clean like Clorox, but a feeling like being transported to a tropical island retreat. Imagine putting your phone on Do Not Disturb, tuning out all the constant, just the feeling of warm sand in between your toes and a fruity drink in your hand. The ones with the little umbrella. Refresh your home to feel like an all-inclusive vacation by getting Clorox Scentiva. Also available in grapefruit and lavender scents at a nearby retail store.
When it comes to your job, you're likely well-versed, but what about your skin? Life's busy enough. It doesn't have to be a big chore to get well-versed skin. Check out the dermatologist-tested cruelty-free vegan skincare products from Verst. It's under $25 and available at your local Target store, making it easier than ever to take care of your skin from head to toe. Podcast listeners, here's an exclusive deal. 15% off at VERSEDskin.com with code MEDIA15. That's VERSEDskin.com with code MEDIA15. Verst, available at Target.
Like, how do you feel like it has affected your personal relationships? Like, obviously having a podcast and like having your social media presence, you've come into contact with so many interesting new people and like broaden the groups of people that you're talking to. But in terms of your own personal relationships, like, how do you feel like it's impacted them?
I feel like, at least in my mind, there's a really thick line between like personality me-ish, like even though that's me, and then like the me that is me. And all of my friends who are my real friends, like, most of them don't listen to my podcast. Most of them don't look at my social media. And if they do, they see occasional posts. Like, it's not how we keep in touch. It's gotten blurry with some friends that, like, I'm not gonna say, like, take it at face value, but, like, see something that I post and then respond to that post or something rather than, like,
find out what's really happening.
Find out what's really happening. I mean, that kind of sounds like I'm, like, lying about something, which I'm not. But it's just, like, there are certain people that have, like, kind of gotten it confused a little bit. But those aren't, like, my real people. I don't know if that answers the question very
You've kind of always been at risk for that since before all of this.
What do you mean?
Remember we used to say the joke was, and you were in on it.
What?
The joke was
we
would forget how great you were until we hung out with you.
Yeah, but no, I don't mean that. I know. That's the thing about me. Everybody forgets.
And just to expand on that.
Yes,
our please. Sibling friend group. Mm-hmm. We would joke that once we were with you in person again, it would be like, oh yeah, Lisa's the best. But as soon as we would have any distance, it would just, for some reason, you were just prone to being diluted to some shallow
I know.
Assumptions.
But now I don't feel that.
No, it's
would,
not
right?
exact. No.
Like, that was the,
but
I know, I get it.
It is a funny attachment that I think we all remember. You identify. Yeah. You were the one that figured that out. You
yeah,
were like,
I could feel
don't
it.
You guys remember?
But I also feel it. I feel it when people perceive me as like just being, right, we said in the beginning, not multidimensional. At the time, we would just chalk it up to like, oh, Lisa likes shoes, like whatever.
You came up with that, and yeah. It was just like, oh yeah, that was kind of on the nose. You're right, yeah.
And then when they're with me, they're like, oh yeah, you've got the layers way beneath, and they're kind of shocked. And it's weird because I'm not like super pretty. You know, somebody's like super pretty, you forget. Like,
oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right? I'm not like so pretty that
no,
like,
you're accessible.
Forget.
Yeah, you're approachable.
I'm an accessible, approachable. sometimes attractive to some people, not to others. It's not like, you know.
No.
So I don't know why I got that vibe, why I give that vibe.
Yeah, I don't.
Or if I still, does it still hold true? Or do we talk
enough? No, but I think maybe that's just like what happens to anybody who's like in the public eye.
No, but it was before that.
It was before that. She was doomed.
Yeah, it was just doomed.
Well, maybe I'm saying maybe that's some
Hater's
iteration.
Hater's going to hate. That sounds like hater's going to hate. Sounds like jealousy.
Jerry's jealous of me.
Yeah.
Lauren's jealous of me, my sister-in-law. My brother's jealous of me. Everybody's jealous. So jealous.
Speaking of which, unpopular opinions. Should we do one for the day?
I'm going to keep mine light, but yeah.
Has your...
just because it's super toxic.
Has your audience been introduced?
So
I mean,
what?
Not that it's a new idea, an unpopular opinion, but just...
What?
You kind of played this game with us where it was just like, here's a safe space. Oh. Now like offer up an unpopular opinion.
Got it.
And let's just leave it on the floor and see if we could all
accept it.
Okay, fine. You go first.
Lulu had one.
Well, I said mine the other day and I didn't realize it was an unpopular opinion. I just said, I wish that I spent more time on my phone. Like, I just, when I'm with Jerry, she's just like... on her phone, and she's just like doing shit and like staying connected and is like talking to people, having full-blown conversations while I'm there, and like I'm just like, I really respect that she's just like on her phone and I'm just there,
yeah,
like blah 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 blah, like or like, you know, whatever, I'm just like looking at you and then you're just like on your phone and I'm just like, why am I not on my phone? Just like, I really wish that I was spending more serious time connected to all the different apps on my phone.
Do you mean like connected to different people in your life?
Yeah. No.
Like, what are you envying?
No. That's what I'm saying. I couldn't even understand it.
I don't
and I was
even
like,
understand.
And doubly, you're just so insulting me because it's an unpopular opinion and you're ascribing it to me. Like, I just sound like the worst.
And you're, like, not even on your phone a lot.
I don't, right.
You're, and like, not even a phone
I was so
person.
Defensive, and she's like, right. Why are you being so defensive? That's admirable. I was like, there's nothing.
I think you meant something else.
No, I don't. I really mean, like, it could be a variety of different things. Like, yes, maybe it's messaging my friends, but it's also, like, being on Instagram, being on TikTok, or reading the news, or, like, news apps or something like that. Like, just the whole gamut. Like,
gamut? Is that how you guys say it?
The whole gamut?
Gamut. Gamut.
Yeah, I don't actually say gamut.
I love gamut.
It's the whole gamut. I just think it seems like an adult way to live your life. I feel like I'm not adulting.
That's so...
I can't accept it, by
not being on my phone as little as I am. Like, the fact that I have messages that are unread for 5 hours, I think for people is, like, an unacceptable standard of communication. And yeah. I think that they're right. But for me, I'm just like, I could leave my phone at home.
Yeah.
And I just like, whoopsie, don't care where it is.
I think that's
a goal, but like, it's nonsense. Guys, I'm telling you from the other side, you don't want to be here.
What's happening to you over there?
You're
more present.
No. The people who need to hear it from you, hear it from you.
Yeah.
We get to Jerry if we need to.
No, but that's the thing. I think that the people... The news that really needs to get to me and the people that I really need to speak to, I often miss opportunities. Like, our world is faster paced and it would be really nice to go like, oh, I really want to slow down. But when you slow down, you take yourself away from it. You just have to accept the reality that the world is fast and that people are getting instant responses and that news is changing over a dime. And
I don't.
But it is, I'm telling you, when you're not in the cycle.
Right.
It feels irresponsible.
Oh. Mm. All right, so I'm going to go surface and then non-surface. Okay. Surface is we just went to this gelateria. No, palateria. What do they call it? Cielito?
Yeah.
What's it called? It's like a popsicle place, but it's like a name for it. Cielito.
Popsicleita.
Popsicleita, yeah. Paleta bar. That's what they call it. Okay. And whatever. And their new flavor.
Did
it was
you
like,
even
wow,
try
new
anything?
Flavor. No, I was so offended by their new flavor of their ice cream pop. Goat cheese.
Oh my god, it sounds
delicious.
Unpopular opinion.
Oh, yeah.
Goat
yeah,
cheese,
yeah.
Olive, popsicle.
Oh, yeah.
Awful. Oh, made me sick. Okay, anyway, that's my surface. Unsurface is I am perpetuating this. So I am part of quote unquote problem. But like true wellness is like hypocritical to technology. Obviously, it's not black and white, but. I find it hard to believe that we can truly like be well and like be on our phones, going back to yours, as much as we are reliant on Instagram for all of our health information or wellness information. And going even further, like health tech, I think is like the biggest like ruse, like wearable technology to find out about your sleep and your and how many steps you took and all that stuff. It's like it's so opposite. Like wellness to me should be stripped down. It should be simple. It should be connected to self.
Mm.
And I know that these industries are booming industries. And I do, again, just like not fully black and white. Like there's value in information. But there's like this huge crux of like, how well are we if we're always on our phones?
Mm.
Very well, in my opinion.
Right. Right. But like, I think we also don't know the true health effects of staring at a screen, from like the curves of our spine changing to our eyesight from an LED lit background, you know, back to us, to holding the phone in our hand with like decrepit thumbs, to EMF and Bluetooth and all of that, to things I probably can't even, you know, put into words. So it's like, here I am, let me teach you about health and wellness, but also listen to my podcast, stay on my page, do this, like for me, like that feels unparticipatory at this time. But there's like an unpopular opinion within me of like, this can't be it.
Yeah.
Mm.
So like, first of all, do I choose wellness and health for myself and go off of the grid, right?
Mm.
Or I don't know. How'd that land for you?
Yeah, good.
I mean, I feel my healthiest and most well, like detached from all of it when I keep my cell phone at home, you know, And obviously, like you said, there's a level of responsibility to it, especially I think that word is good because since having Soli, I've been on my phone more than ever for multiple reasons. Some because the phone makes you feel like you're being responsible. Oh, let me Google this rash that she has. But like that could be more harmful. Mm-hmm. And then other reasons of just like if I leave the house, right? I want to know whoever's taking care of her can like get in touch with me. So I think that these smartphones are not smart at all.
Mm. Oh, that brings me to mind. Maybe this isn't an unpopular opinion. Mm. But the other day I said to you, I think maybe it's good to present things as truths even when you haven't fact-checked them.
Why?
Because I think we're too dependent on Google.
Oh.
And you know, a generation ago, people were just saying things with the confidence that they had from whatever experience they had or whoever told them, the trust that they had in whatever was passed down to them, and they believed it. And, like, probably believed it through some sort of experience. And that was enough.
Right.
And sure, like, there's maybe potential for some things being damaging or some sort of, like, knock-on effect that isn't positive. But for the most part, I think that's a pretty positive thing. Is just, like, take it for what it is.
Right.
Incorporate something that you've learned into your own life. And then you can tell someone that without saying, I haven't looked this up or I'm not sure if it's true, but I think that.
What does the research have to say on that? It's
right.
Like, as if it's not harmful, let it be.
Right.
And, like, people are going to believe that this helps with that. It gives them something to do and put their energy forth.
And you disagreed.
Yeah, I really disagree. I think that the world needs to be more accepting of complexity and vague, and how vague things can be.
But I don't think the phone or internet provides you with more vagueness. It says like right and wrong.
No, but I think what it does is you acknowledge that people don't always have the right answers. And it's like, if you go on Google, Google's not going to give you one answer. It's also going to give you three different answers.
But most people aren't going to get to the third answer. They look for the first.
Right. It's Google's truth anyway, but it still feels like it's more weighted in like fact truth than you just saying it from your own mind.
I don't know. I just don't think that there's anything wrong with people being a little bit more humble about their abilities to like be truth sayers. I think that that's gotten us into like a lot of trouble in the past.
I guess it depends on what the type of information is, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was telling you how to wash dishes better.
Based on how your ancestors taught you to wash dishes?
Yes.
Yes. And Google had a different way?
I didn't ask Google because I didn't need to know. I'm not sure if you need to have hot water, but I'm pretty sure, based on my whole life's experience.
You wash with cold, a cold rinse?
Cold was happening, and I just was like,
yeah, hot would get it'll
be better.
Yeah. But will it? You're right. Will it?
But, like, I know enough because I've done it enough to know that, like, I don't need Google.
I know, but I just don't think it's like a crying shame that you were like, but I'm not sure about that.
Because I felt like I had to double back and be like, by the way, before I go, just telling you this thing that you need the heat to cut the grease. I'm not 100%. That's not science.
Right.
I just need you to know that. And then I was like, why did I feel like I have to tell you that that's not science?
The intricacies of relationships, though.
And then I sat down and then I thought, it's an interesting thought now that I thought that I had to tell, you know, like then I worked it all backwards and I went back up to her and I was just like, I've been thinking about whether or not this is something that you need to do. And then I presented this whole opinion
philosophy.
Yeah. And then Lulu was like, no, you're wrong. You should find out if that's true or not.
I've seen her get like this with you though, too. You guys are like too smart for each other's good. Or just like, you're in a hole.
Well, the dishes got washed.
All right. Should we wrap up this episode?
I don't feel like we got to the real crux.
Yeah, we didn't really get to the
one crux. Last one. We got to the crux. We had fun. All I wanted to do was hang out with my best friends and have fun and give the internet a taste of how wonderful you both are.
I'm looking.
Okay,
told
okay.
You got punked. This is your podcast now.
We always, actually, I don't think we have, but it's, anyway.
Wait.
You can say it.
Wait, which one?
The commune.
Oh,
wait. The commune?
So we've talked about like the idea of like commune living together.
The mommune.
Yeah.
The
mommune. The mommune.
You guys aren't moms yet, but yeah.
Well, we could help.
Yes. Yeah, you don't have to be a mom.
She's lactating.
She's lactating.
I'm lactating. Like, that's the thing about the mommune. You don't have to be a mom.
Yes,
to
true.
Be part of it.
Yes. Right. I do think you should be largely female.
Oh, interesting.
Well, like, what men would I need? I go on with the question.
Yeah, well, anyway, you've chosen a man.
Right, but like, does he need to be in my village?
Well, we're not sure. This is the question. Yeah. So we love Evan. So you have chosen like a pretty traditional nuclear family setup, and we were
basic. Nuclear equals basic.
Yeah. Well, ready
basic,
for
boring suburbs. I get it.
Reduced to the lowest common denominator. Yeah.
Yeah.
So if the commune was a real option, do you think you're ready, or would you take it?
Okay. So the commune being we all live together.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like we all have like equal responsibility for the different children. So like Rye, Hunter, Soli, they all come right. under.
So we all share. We share a family. Jerry we and share. I have the three of us are aunts to the same Hunter, Ryan.
Yeah.
So whatever. What state are we going to live in?
Not important.
Okay. So is the question, would I leave Evan behind?
No.
Evan can be part of it. Because we actually called it a commune. You wanted to call it a mommune. And then you said no man.
I think we need... Right.
Let the record
I think we do need Evan. He brings valuable skills.
Yeah. So the question is
we need a doctor.
Not fire skills.
If you had the
starting fire skills.
No. So if you had the option... So, you know, you guys are like thinking about getting a new place. And instead of you guys getting a new place, it's like, actually, we're all going to buy a new place together. So it's going to be 10 of us. We're living in an apartment. And actually, like, your dad's going to come too.
Oh, wait. My dad's coming? Wait, what's my dad? Why is my dad going to come? Is my mom coming too? This is a traumatic place for me. I don't want to be here anymore.
No. We can pick and choose.
Yeah, you can pick and choose. But the idea that it's like a commune setting, would you genuinely make the case to Evan and be like, maybe we should uproot our lives?
Genuinely... Yes, I believe that would be the best thing for all of us. I think we would not have cell phones. We would just be so, like, sustainable within ourselves.
Oh, we're also hunters and gatherers?
No, we're not going back.
No, sustainable in the sense that, like...
We have emotionally enough. Sustainable.
Yeah, but we're living, like, in the world as we know it.
Yeah,
we're not off-grid.
We'd be on our phone a lot less.
Oh, yeah.
But we'd be talking to each other mostly.
Yeah.
I think that it restores many of the things that... people have in the blue zones, which is where people live the most, which is lots of socialness. I forget the
what
other
are the
things
blue
right
zones?
Now. The blue zones are the areas in the world that we've studied where people live the longest, like longevity. Yeah. So the things that they do is like what types of foods that they eat. But the huge thing that stands out is that they spend a lot of time socializing and how like healthy that is. And I think like I would love to.
I would love to live in a commune.
I think the way we're living is just so bad for our mental health and we don't even realize it.
Mm-hmm.
And also like I think when you live in a nuclear family, you're also like really, people are really busy keeping up pretenses and like keeping up like an image of like what things are supposed to be. And I think that like if you were living in a more open community style setting, I think... you would have a lot more space for like real vulnerability and real honesty. Like even with being able to talk a little bit more about mental health, like in the recent years, it's still presented to you through social media, through like a lens of a filter.
Mm.
Whereas like, I think if you had community living, like more people would really experience what it is. And I don't know, I just think it would be really healthy. So
final question.
The final question is something that is going to start with a statement first. So we know that boundaries are really important to you, and you've talked about the importance of boundaries before. So what communication do you owe to people when you put up boundaries towards them? Like, do people...
In general?
So yeah, do people deserve to be told, like...
Not always.
I'm putting up a boundary. So
not
you
always.
Think... So you, it's okay to kind of just go cold turkey on someone?
I think that you always have to make, like, a boundary is meant to protect you. It's less about, like, the other person in many of those circumstances. So it's literally, like, what do you have the bandwidth for? If you don't have the bandwidth to explain your boundary to somebody else, like, for whatever reason, whether it's fear, tired, exhaustion, whatever reason, then you have to just create that boundary without explanation. And most of the people that I have, like, created real boundaries with over time have like circled back and understood that it was a boundary without explaining, and the relationship has been better for it. But in that murky period, it's not always like that, and you kind of have to sit with that. But I don't know, I don't feel, I said before, maybe I'm a little psychopathic, but no, I think I'm more like just focused on such self-preservation when a boundary is laid that you just have to like trust that it's for the better of the relationship, and it does create a new path, but it's like a new pathway for the relationship too.
Mm.
To exist, and then it helps the other person like do that for themselves or life.
Yeah, but there are a lot of people in your life that
speak
the same language.
Mm-hmm.
not just followers, but like people in your peer group and work and whatever, in whatever element of work. But not everyone has that same emotional intelligence or is in the pursuit of doing personal work or would have the awareness to see a boundary, identify it, respect it, and then be able to like grow through it also.
Maybe they won't be able to verbalize it or put it into words, but like the eventual has almost always been net positive for somebody that I've retained a relationship with. Again, they might not be like, wow, thank you for putting down that boundary with me. Now I understand how to better communicate with you and other people in my life. Like, maybe not that.
It's not
that.
So literal, yeah.
It's not so literal. But I don't know. I think similar to like posting, right? It's like I'm not like looking all around me. It's just like if a boundary needs to be put in place, it's because something in me is being chipped away and it's for like restoration.
Mm-hmm.
So no, I don't think that in all cases you have to explain it. And certainly that word is never well received. Like, this is a boundary that I'm laying, right? Like people get their back up against that.
Mm-hmm.
And trying to delicately put it in another way, but if you have to already lay the boundary, is just like not always available.
It's true.
Emotionally to put it in a sentence that would be soft enough that they're not defensive. Like, that's so much emotional work just thinking about it right now. And I'm not even in, it's not, and I'm just thinking like hypothetically.
Right.
I don't know. Maybe that's how I do it, but that's not to say that's the right way to do it.
No, it makes sense. I think that probably comes from being able to, like, your answer comes from the ability to know like what it is to responsibly set a boundary. Like, so many people can't do it because they're like worried about what other people are thinking or thinking about the repercussions. But I guess
it's not to say that I'm so great at it and other times either, like especially with family, right, where most people need boundaries. Like, I do have the same soft spots and re-enter cycles all the time, so I just don't want to come off as like I'm an amazing boundary putter downer and you should follow my steps. Just answering that question. Okay, should we wrap up this episode, guys?
Yeah. Well, I see a commune in our future. 2025.
That was the most interesting thing that we gleaned out of this interview.
Is that it's a yes.
That it's a yes, it's a go. To the commune.
But you guys are New Yorkers.
We are.
We're going to have to figure out the winter.
Well, we're not. We're nowhere right now.
We're nowhere at the moment. Yeah. But
thank you for sitting down and talk to me. Love you guys.
Love you.
Love you.
Turns out, a delightfully clean home can make for a delightful start to the day. At Mrs. Meyer's, everything they make is inspired by the garden. With plant-derived and other thoughtfully chosen ingredients, their cleaning products smell like a dream and work like the dickens, leaving your home sparkly clean and your to-do list tackled in no time. Goodness, there's no better feeling than that. Mrs. Meyer's, rooted in goodness. Visit MrsMeyers.com today.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah! And some waves, so we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that!
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in!
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it!
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
This is Amy Brown from Four Things with Amy Brown. Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between offering quality care and support virtually, in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways that healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.